a charismatic preacher preaching on today's gospel text was warning his congregation about the eternal damnation. On the day of judgment, he said, there will be weeping and grinding of teeth. But an old woman in the crowd responded, look, preacher, I got no teeth. He said, never mind, teeth will be provided. In the first reading, Isaiah's prophecy speaks to the Babylonian exiles returning to Jerusalem after 47 years in captivity, especially to the younger members with their pagan wives, telling them that salvation is not a Jewish monopoly, and that is why Yahweh welcomes the pagans also into Judaism. The prophet's great book ends as it began, with a version of all the peoples of the world streaming towards Jerusalem, acknowledging and praising the God of Israel. When someone asked Jesus, how many will be saved? He was assuming that the salvation of God's chosen people, that is, Jews alone, was virtually guaranteed, provided they kept the law. In answering this question, Jesus shifts the focus from how many will be saved to how one is to be saved, declaring that it is by entering through the narrow gate. Thus, Jesus reminds us that even though God wants all of us to be saved, he cannot and will not force us to be saved, for he has given us the freedom to accept his invitation or to refuse it. Entry into God's kingdom is not automatically granted based purely on religious affiliation or nationality. So we cannot presume on God's mercy and do nothing by way of response to God's invitation. How many will be saved in the end is a decision that rests with God and depends his justice, which includes his mercy. Jesus came to bring God's love and freedom to the whole world. The message of his gospel is that there is not a single person, people, nation, race, or class as such which will be permanently barred from approaching God and receiving the love and liberation that he offers freely to everyone. Jesus issued a series of sayings and parables that emphasize the difficulty involved in entering God's kingdom, and he stressed our need for constant fidelity and vigilance throughout our lives. He added two conditions. Eternal salvation is the result of a struggle. That's why Jesus says, keep on striving to enter. This striving is like the effort one would make in swimming against the current in a river. A man must ever be going forward, or else he will go backward. Secondly, we must enter through the narrow gate of sacrificial and selfless service. Most cities of the ancient world were surrounded by walls that had large gates in them. Jerusalem had about 12 gates that were large enough for two-way traffic. People moved through these gates to do their business, to shop, and to visit their friends. These gates, however, were closed at night in case the city came under attack by an invader. There were also smaller gates through which individual citizens could be allowed into the city by the guards without exposing the city to danger. The smaller or narrower gates were what Jesus was talking about in today's gospel passage. The smaller gates were like turnstiles. Only one person at a time could enter through them. Jesus repeats Isaiah's image of a final banquet. He does not want his followers to presume they can just slip through to enter his Father's house. The crowd will press for entry, but the door will be too narrow to admit all at a time. The less alert will be forced to stay outside and appeal in vain for entry. The irony of Jesus' image is that the narrow gates are the proper way to enter the kingdom precisely, because they are just wide enough to receive a single person, anyone who is willing to do sacrificial service for the glory of God. It is the narrow way of unconditional and unremitting love. These ways, respectively called narrow and wide, probably because the way of evil is always easy and pleasant to follow, and the way of goodness always hard and tiresome. Mere faith in Jesus and membership in his church by baptism cannot guarantee salvation. Venerable Bishop Fulton Sheen says that we will have three surprises in heaven. He writes, one, there will be many there whom we never expected. Second, there will be many absent whom we expected to see. And third, we will be surprised to find that we ourselves have gotten in. The real question is, who will enter God's kingdom? There is only one answer: those who choose the narrow gate, and they will come from east and west and will eat together, live together, and enjoy God in the beatific vision for all eternity. Even non-Christians can be saved, but it's not easy. We need to cooperate with God's grace daily given to us by choosing the narrow way and the narrow gate of self-control and self-discipline of our evil tendencies, evil habits, and addictions. And by loving others, seeing the face of Jesus in them, and sharing our blessings with them sacrificially.